Well, hello, Gospel Church. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Faith Applied, our first Faith Applied session for 2021, and we are so excited to be here. My name is Trey Powell, and I am the pastor of Groups and Connection here at the Gospel Church, and I am joined by Donovan Jordan. Donovan, say hello.
What's up, everybody?
You doing all right tonight, Donovan?
I am okay. It's fun to get on Zoom and get this recorded for everybody in our congregation. One day we will get to do this all together in person, but Lord willing, we are just going to continue to serve him well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We, again, as Donovan said, we wish we could be doing this in person, but we're grateful for the technology to continue to do our best to provide you all with podcasts and with sessions that help us learn what it looks like to truly apply different aspects of our faith to our lives. So as we were thinking about topics for this year, and especially kicking off the year, we were thinking everybody at the beginning of the year has these resolutions, these goals that they set for themselves at the beginning of the year. And some of you may have said, hey, I want to spend more time studying the Bible. Some of you may have said, hey, I want to be more consistent in my quiet time. And knowing these things, we wanted to kind of address, what does it mean to grow spiritually? What does that look like? What does it look like to spend personal time with the Lord? And how can we do that well? So that's kind of what we're hoping to address tonight. And to help us with this conversation, we are super excited to be joined by the Gitter family, Jeff and Emily. So Jeff and Emily, how are y'all doing tonight?
We're doing mm-hmm. pretty well. Yeah. It's always an adventure when you have a 11-month-old, and but it's been a really good couple weeks for us.
Good. We are so glad. So for those of you who don't know Jeff and Emily, would y'all mind just sharing with us a little bit more about who you are, kind of how you got to the Gospel Church, and what y'all do now?
Yeah, so I guess I'll go first. So my name is Jeff Gitter. For those of you who haven't met me, I'm an elder here at the Gospel Church. I first came to Gospel Church when I was 18. I was a freshman at Vanderbilt, and I'd like to tell a story about how it was a hot summer day in mid-August, and there was a group of us that were getting a ride from the BCM. And so the first time I came to Gospel Church, we were, I think there was eight of us or something, and we were going in a small sedan. We were driving to the church. So me and a buddy actually got into the trunk of that car, and I just was sweating bullets because it was like 90 degrees that day. And so first day, popped out of the trunk and came to church. And since then, and that was a number of years ago now. Yeah, 2009. So it's been, can't do the math in my head anymore. And so it's been a good road here. But yeah, I'm excited to be here and really honored that you guys thought of us to talk through this topic. What about you, Love?
Yeah, my name is Emily Gitter, and I started going to the Gospel Church about a semester after Jeff did, so spring of my freshman year at Vanderbilt, so 2010. It's been a long, long time. It's been a great time at the Gospel Church.
Yeah, so y'all have been with us through many iterations, Cabana and all sorts of different locations, so we are grateful for your faithful partnership in the Gospel. We trust Jeff and Emily emphatically. We are grateful for the ways that they love and lead our congregation, and we know they will do a great job helping us lead out in this conversation.
You're very kind, Trey. Thank you.
Yes. So I love the Gitters so much. They are a joy to have at our church. One of the major reasons I love them is their servant hearts. I'm going to just do a quick plug for serving at the Gospel Church. If you want to serve, just hit us at thegospelchurch.com/serve. But for real, for tonight, we're here to talk about studying the Word, spending time with the Lord, all of that fun stuff. And Jeff, I was just thinking one of the best ways for us to start is to just have some theological background about, like, what is the Bible? Why do we study it? Just kind of help us there. I know you're an elder. I know your heart and your love for theology. So just fill us in there.
Oh, you're speaking my love language, man. That's great. There's two verses that come to mind when I talk about the Bible. First one is 2 Timothy 3:16, which is all scripture is breathed out by God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that's the first one. The second one is Hebrews 4:12, which is the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And those two verses are really interesting because the first one talks about the word of God being breathed out by God, right? This is actually his word and is useful to us, right? It's not just that God said things and now we can try to unlock the secrets of them or something, but like, no, like God actually intended to make it useful to us. And it even speaks to us to the point where the writer of Hebrews is saying it's dividing our soul and spirit and our joints and marrow, that it's actually penetrating into our lives. And there's an opportunity for us to experience the real change that God has for us because of the word that he's given us. And that there's no other book in the world that can do that for you. I mean, the Bible is incredibly unique in that way. You can have the most helpful Tim Keller book, but that's not going to have the same type of effect that the Bible has. And there's another verse I've been trying to memorize. So you guys keep me honest here. It's Psalm 8:2-3, which is, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him, right? Like there's an aspect to the scripture that is just really, really amazing, because God himself actually chose to care enough about us and chose to care about our situations and what's going on in our lives that he gave us his word. And it's kind of absurd, really, like how much God loves us that he would give us his word. And it's in many ways, it's not the best gift he's given us, right? The best gift is his son, but in many ways, it's like the second best gift, right? It's the way that we actually get to know him, the way that we actually learn about the other good gifts he gives, the promises he gives. And the fact that he would give that to us, even when we were sinners too, is just another expression of just his amazing grace. And that's why I get fired up about this stuff, and why I just love spending time in the word and love just getting to learn it better and better. And also learn, like walking with guys like you, Donovan, you, Trey, and in our life group as well, as we walk together with people, we can just continue to get deeper and deeper into it. And so anyway, that's my soapbox spiel, my preaching moment. And I absolutely love it.
That's the soapbox I tend to get on too, especially that Hebrews verse, man. I love me some Hebrews. I probably get into that every single year, at least 3 times a year, just because it's just so good. And when I get to that, I'm just like, Lord, please penetrate me with your word. God, show me the depths of my heart. I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit more as we go along, but like that just was really speaking to me, Jeff.
Yeah, I want to go down that rabbit trail, but we're not doing that tonight.
But I think honestly, a lot of what you're speaking to here, Jeff, is really helping us frame out, like, not just that it's important to read the Bible, but like why we should treasure the Bible, right? It changes our heart and the way that we approach it. I think for so much of my life, I approach reading the Bible as my spiritual duty, if that makes sense. And that's there is an element and an aspect of that that we can't ignore. But when we have a more full understanding of what scripture is and what God's word is and the role that it plays in our life and the gift that it is, I think it really changes the way that we approach personal time spent with the Lord and especially studying his word. So I just appreciate you bringing those aspects out for us and really emphasizing those things about scripture.
Yeah, absolutely.
So kind of with that framework in mind, as we're thinking of scripture as, hey, all of it is breathed out by God. It is God's message given to us out of grace. And it's something that's living and active and it is useful for us in our daily lives. Like, I feel like that's somewhat the answer in and of itself, but like outside of those things, why do we spending personal time with the Lord in scripture in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I think you spend time with someone that you love, ultimately. And the verse I like to share with this is John 14:21, which is, whoever has my commands and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. It's a kind of a roundabout verse basically saying, if you love someone, then you're going to spend that time with them. And so that the part of that verse that's important here is whoever has my commands and keeps them. So it's not just about, you know, generally knowing the commands, but also keeping them close to you. And that's really how you end up getting closer and closer to God. Especially in your life, you're wondering why is God feeling distant? Like, why am I not connecting with the Lord in prayer? Like, some of that is just spending more time in the Word, and often is the antidote to that too. I don't know.
No, yeah, I hear that. I hear a lot of people tell me at times, like, man, I just feel really distant from God, but I feel like if I read the Bible right now, it'll just be like a chore. And I don't want to do that to God. I don't want time that I spend with him to be a chore. But it's almost, I like to look at it like, well, there are times where I feel very distant from my wife, but I need to serve her and loving her and talking to her and being with her. Even if it feels like a chore, like, I'm not going to say that it feels like a chore. That sounds like a mistake. But what I will do is pursue her regardless of how I'm feeling, because it's what I ought to do. It's what I must do to love and care for her. Not because it's just my duty as her husband, which is true for us when loving the Lord, right, as his bride, but because I care for her deeply and want to see our relationship thrive. So I really love that you like continue to bring in your scriptural memory, your scripture recall. Like, that's super vital. And I think that it's very important for us to kind of see what are some ways that studying scripture helps us to go out and proclaim the gospel. So how does studying scripture help equip us to proclaim the gospel? I know that you, Jeff, are recalling a lot of scripture from memory. I'm looking at you right now. You don't have your Bible out. Like, this is straight off the dome, guys. What are some other ways that we are equipped to proclaim the gospel in studying the word?
Yeah, I think I want to comment first, Donovan, what you talked about, the analogy with your wife. I think that's such a good picture though too, because that duty that you're doing to spend that time to discipline yourself in order to spend that time with your wife, like, as you spend that time, like, you will grow deeper in love with your wife too. It's not, the discipline leads to the delight, not, you don't necessarily have to have the delight in order to build your discipline, right? So, and I think Trey was kind of hinting at that a little bit earlier. It's not that you need to feel it before you can actually do it. Like, it's actually better to do it, and then you'll delight in it too. And I'm thinking about, you just spoke so highly of me remembering these verses, but the verse in Psalms, I can't remember, chapter 1, I think, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. This is actually a verse that we partially designed the Gospel Church logo off of. The second part is, but he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which bears its fruit in its season, and everything he does, he prospers. You look at the Gospel Church logo, right? We chose that logo very deliberately, and it was designed very deliberately, partially off of that verse, right? That the tree represents kind of our church, that you see the Bible that's open underneath it looks like a river, or maybe you saw a river and it looks like a Bible, either way. But that verse is pointing towards that delight that we have that comes out of scripture. So I see Trey nodding. I don't know if you kind of understood some of that background, Trey, but that's something that I just really, truly like about our church too. But anyway, but you asked a specific question about how spending personal time with the Lord proclaims the gospel. And I think that there's really two aspects for my own life too. I think that when you are spending time with the Lord and people can see you doing that, there's an aspect of leadership that's happening there, that shows that you're different too. I think even looking at my own life, and particularly in my childhood, my dad was really good about getting in the Word every day. He read his Bible every day. And he didn't actually really sit me down and teach me very much, but he got in the Word every single day. And that actually made a really big impression on me growing up. And I think that's a big part of what helped me get into getting in the Word every day was just seeing that example and seeing him do that. And the same thing can happen not just for in your family, but for outside your family too. Normally non-COVID times, one of my habits is to try to take my Bible with me to work. And before I go to work, I'll sit up in the break room and I'll open my Bible and I'll just start reading. And when I'm doing that, not just to spend time with the Lord in and of itself, but also to be an example to everyone that's walking past me, that people will see me, they know what I'm doing. And I've had a couple of people that have kind of set me, you know, pulled me aside and said, "Hey, I see you reading your Bible in the morning. And I just want to come talk to you that, you know, I didn't realize there's another Christian here," or, you know, "I see you reading your Bible every day. Why do you do that so much?" And there's opportunities for conversations there in some of those spaces that are outside of our church too. But then the second thing is that when you choose to spend time in the Word, you're choosing to give up something else with that time. So your time can be spent on any number of things, and there's all kinds of important things calling for our time, and because we're all extremely busy, right? Like even in COVID times, everyone is busy because every moment of your day you're doing something. But when you choose to submit to God and to make that time happen, you're choosing to not do something else. And that is also something that gives glory to God, because you're saying, "Lord, this is more important to me than watching that TV show, or more important to me than whatever it was you're going to do with that time." So I think that's how it works for me.
Yeah, I think that all of those aspects are just super important. And I think some people would say, you know, it's a little bit counterintuitive that reading your Bible by yourself would be something that proclaims the gospel to other people. But again, you're pointing us to that exact truth there, Jeff, and how you're saying, "Hey, this is the example my Father set for me. Hey, this is something that I do in my workplace." And we just need to understand that, yes, there is a level of we don't want to trumpet our righteousness in front of other people. But at the same time, the Lord can truly use the example that we set for other people if we are intentional about what we are doing in public, in order to show people where our priorities lie, where our hope is at, and what we truly call important in our lives. And so I think that's a great example. And as I was just personally thinking about, hey, like, how does reading the Bible proclaim the gospel to me? I was also thinking about, like, how does reading the Bible really help prepare me for my gospel purpose, right? And just some thoughts that I had on that. I feel like one great thing about spending time with the Lord, especially in His Word, is just that it gives me good and right expectations for my life. I think sometimes we can have this false notion that if we are following Christ, that everything is going to go really well for us. And that if things are going poorly for us in our life, it's because the Lord is displeased with us and because we're not spending enough time with Him. But I think we see in scripture would bear this out in multiple places, right? Romans 5 tells us, like, hey, there's going to be suffering in this world, but when you go through that suffering is going to produce perseverance, that perseverance character, that character hope, and that hope that we have will not disappoint us. And even Jesus tells us in John 16:33, right, in this world you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world, right? And so it's this idea that when I spend time in scripture, it really helps me better understand who I am, what I've been called to do, and what I can expect from this world, which I find incredibly helpful. And then also, like scripture tells us, hey, that not only do you need to have reasonable expectations in this world, right, but you need to have hopeful expectations for the future. Because the craziness of this world, right, I think we could all agree the last year or so that we have been through has been unbelievable. There's been just too much suffering to even name. Maybe we haven't experienced it personally, but we've seen it throughout our world. But scripture tells us that somehow our suffering cannot compare to the glory that is going to be revealed inside of us. That's found in Romans chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 describes this life as light and momentary affliction. But that light and momentary affliction is creating for us an eternal weight of glory that far exceeds them all, far exceeds all the suffering we could have experienced on this earth. And so I think as we read scripture, it really helps us understand, hey, this life, these are the expectations we need to have. However, there is something so much greater waiting for us that we can look forward to. And so I think even in reading scripture, it's proclaiming the gospel to me and helping me better grasp what my call and my purpose is in this life.
Yeah, Trey, I'm hanging on to one other thing you said too about, you know, we feel like sometimes people feel like when things are not going their way, that maybe if they spend more time in scripture, that somehow that's going to turn their situation around. And I mean, that's just legalism right there. Like that's not really what God's calling us to do here too. I think one thing I've seen in my own experience, I think this is getting into, you know, some of the personal things of how we approach it, is I found that it doesn't really matter how much time you spend, is so long as you're being faithful in spending the time. Like I found that really that the opportunity to quiet your heart and to open the Bible and take your heart attitude away from all the things, busy things in the world that are distracting us from scripture, and just taking even 30 seconds to just focus in on what God has for you today, to say a short prayer, even just reading one verse. I've found that in my life too, that there have been times where I've felt like I need to get 30 minutes or need to get an hour in with the Lord, and that sometimes they're just not practical and not possible. And I found on those days that the Lord honors even 30 seconds. And it's not about how much time, it's about the heart attitude. And that's really what God's looking for from all of us, is the heart, not necessarily some sort of action or activity.
Yeah, I think that's really good and really insightful. So as we've kind of begun to dip our toes into it, I guess let's fully dive in here. We've talked a lot about, you know, hey, this is what scripture is. This is why it's important to study scripture. But really one of the main purposes of us even having this conversation is providing people with maybe some insights, maybe some practical application, some systems and processes, if you want to say it that way, that they can walk through if they are sitting here and they're saying, hey, I really want to make it my goal to grow spiritually this year. So with that all in mind, like, what does it look like for both of y'all, Jeff and Emily, to spend personal time with the Lord? Just, I don't know, what has that looked like for you previously? What does that look like for you now? How has that changed and fluctuated?
Do you want to go first?
Sure, I can go first. Well, as Jeff said at the very beginning, we have an almost 11-month-old. So our personal quiet times have, I know for myself, and I think I can speak for Jeff also, changed quite drastically in the last year. Yes. So it definitely has looked different at different points and stages in our lives. So for me, I think for pretty much all of my Christian walk, morning has worked better for me in terms of the time for getting into the Word. And then right now with the baby, we do try to wake up before she does. Sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes she wakes up really early. So we just kind of roll with the punches a little bit. But trying to have time to have even just 5 or 10 minutes before Carolyn wakes up, to truly be able to focus. For me, I have been trying to not have my cell phone with me, because I know that that's a huge distraction for me. So I've been trying to leave my phone in the bedroom and get away. And I have a bullet journal that I use. And so I will write down for each day what scripture I plan to read that day. I follow a scripture reading plan. so that I have that written down. I don't even have to look at my phone, don't even have to open up the reading plan and be tempted by Instagram or email or whatever else happens to catch my attention. So I have it right there. I have it written down. I usually try to write down two things after my reading. I'll pray a little bit. I'll read whatever the scripture reading is. And then I'll write down one thing that I either learned or see God in that scripture, some truth about God, and then write down a short prayer also related to, you know, whatever I've learned or read in that passage. And then the current plan that I'm using right now is called the Bible Recap. And there's a short podcast that goes along with it, actually, a daily podcast that I've really been enjoying. So that gives me a chance to, while I'm getting ready for the day or, you know, running around getting dinner ready, I can have a podcast going on also. And that's basically a short 5 to 10 minute commentary on whatever the passage was for that day. So that's been a really, really good way for me to be able to kind of keep it on the forefront of my mind throughout the rest of the day and learn a little bit more about whatever the passage was for the day.
Yeah, the other podcast I know you use is Pray the Word with David Platt.
Mm-hmm, I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one's a really good one as well. Another good, like, I think it's 5 minutes.
It's 5 minutes or less. It's really short.
Mm-hmm. And he does really well with that one too. So I guess for me, my time with the Lord has changed in every season of my life. When I was in college, I would literally just like carry my Bible around with me, and I would just crack it open between homework and just sort of haphazardly do it throughout the day. Then once I got a real job and got into the working world, I realized that I needed something a little bit more disciplined. And so at that point, it really became every morning. And then since kids, as Emily was suggesting too, it's been a lot harder. In many ways, this transition has been kind of one of the hardest times for me to get a daily quiet time in. It was not something I struggled with for a while, and then we had kids and it became difficult. And so can't speak highly enough to how important it was all those years of building that discipline and building that habit prior to having kids. That was really important. But I mean, in terms of what my quiet time looks like, first step is just to prepare my heart. So I usually do my scripture memory at that point. So I have an app, it's called Scripture Typer, that I personally like. There's another, what's the one that you use? There's a number of good ones out there.
I use Fighterverse.
I think that one's more popular.
What I like about Fighterverse is they have like little quizzes you can use to quiz yourself, but it also has songs that go with each of the memory verses. So whenever I'm, you know, thinking of a verse, I have to sing it in my head first because I know them based on the songs, but that helps me remember them better.
Yeah. So I spend some time doing memory verses first, reviewing the ones that are coming up, and the apps help you because they can keep track of how frequently you review them. So you're not trying to like review everything every single day, and it's just overwhelming. But the point of that time is really to focus my heart on the word and focus my heart on God through his word. And I know I've heard of other people doing things like listening to worship music or just starting with prayer. Like all those are good options. For me, usually I then either pray or I start reading my Bible after that. So when I pray, I use the ACTS model, which is the adoration. So you praise God or thank him for who he is and what he's done. Confession, which is to take a moment and just reflect on how I've sinned in the past day and confess that. Thanksgiving, which is just saying all the things that God's given me, all things I'm thankful for. And the last one, S, is supplication. So start asking for things. And I found when I pray at that model, I usually think I'm going to ask God for something. And then I get to that supplication spot after praising his name for who he is, realizing what sin I've committed, and then thanking him. By the time I get there, I don't always want to ask for the same things anymore. And then the Bible, I think Emily mentioned this too, but, and you've helped me out with this a lot for sure, but using a reading plan is a really good thing. Even if you pick a Bible in a year plan, you don't finish in a year, even just having something that is guiding you in your reading, I find is super helpful, because if I just crack my Bible open, what always happens is I end up cracking open the same page because I've really, really enjoyed Philippians chapter 2. And so the spine is a little bit broken on Philippians chapter 2. And so I end up reading Philippians chapter 2 like 30 times in a year. So it's not actually random if you do that. So anyway, reading plans are awesome. And then so some days I'll end up praying more, and some days I will read my Bible more. Just sort of kind of let the Lord lead is how I like to do it. And then when I pray, I do it by journaling. So I have a journal and I just write it all down, because if I fold my hands, close my eyes, and you know, try to mumble it or something, I end up getting totally distracted. And so I've learned that for me, writing works the best, even though it's a little bit slower. And the other thing too, I've noticed as well, for those of you who are life group leaders or you know, studying the Bible with some sort of group in mind too, I found that if I'm preparing for life group, that's not the same as reading the Bible to get close to God. And don't necessarily know if I know the mechanism of why exactly that's working, but if I'm working towards some end through scripture, it's not the same as spending time with God. And so I try to keep those separated.
Yeah, I think all of that is really helpful insight. And just note, again, as you're hearing from Jeff and Emily, like their two times spent with the Lord don't look the same. And that's okay, right? This is not meant to be prescriptive. This is meant to be just simply descriptive of ways that we have approached our own personal time spent with the Lord, what that looks like and what has worked for us. And so just I don't want anybody walking away from this going, I need to follow exactly what Emily is doing, or I need to follow exactly what Jeff is doing if I want to grow in my own walk with the Lord. We're just trying to provide some examples of what this can look like. So, again, with that said, I mean, for me personally, I'll agree, with what Jeff and Emily said. Like, I feel like my personal time with the Lord has changed throughout my life, depending on, you know, how busy I was or what was happening in my life as to how much time I spent, when I spent that time. But kind of where I'm at right now is, I'm like y'all, I'm looking for any help I can get with structuring that time out. So I'm currently following a reading plan that's put out by the Gospel Coalition, that helps you read through the Bible in a year. And that's been really helpful for me to not have to maybe even over-spiritualize the time that I step into with the Lord, thinking I need to think really hard about what I need to read today and what area I need to grow in, but just trusting, as you talked about in 2 Timothy 3, right? All scripture is God-breathed and useful. And so I can trust that the Lord is going to use this chapter out of Deuteronomy just as much as he would use Philippians chapter 2, right, to help me grow in my wisdom and knowledge and understanding of who God is and who he has called me to be. And so I follow that reading plan. I also am a fan of Fiderverse, Emily, so Team Fiderverse over here. I think that's been really helpful for me as I utilize that for scripture memory. And then I try every day to, just write out a prayer, based on the scripture that I've read, but also, a prayer that is as specific as it can be, if that makes sense. I feel like earlier in my spiritual life, I found myself praying for a lot of things like, Lord, I just want to be, more faithful to you. Lord, I want to grow in wisdom. Lord, I want to make your name known in this world. And not that those are bad prayers at all, but I felt as though those prayers were very vague and amorphous. And so I've been challenged by those in my life to really begin to pray specific prayers, prayers that I could actually look back on one day and say, the Lord was faithful in answering that, versus just praying something vague like, Lord, I just want to grow in Christ-likeness, and me having to go, I think he's answered that over the course of the last 2 years. So that's been really helpful for me personally. Donovan, are there things that you want to add or that stand out to you as maybe particularly unique that you've stepped into?
Yeah, so I've learned a lot today about some things. I didn't know there were apps for scripture memory. Also, I haven't been looking out for apps for scripture memory, but that's super helpful to think about because this year I'm doing a little things a little bit differently just in terms of how I'm going through my time with the Lord. I have a daughter. She is 3. Just make sure I got the age right. But she's pretty good. She knows like, hey, dad's doing X, Y, or Z for church or dad's blah, 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 Bible. She's like, oh, really? You love Jesus? You're getting in the word with Jesus? It's just good to see her just really understand more about that and kind of want to understand more. So that's been good. But I'm getting into journaling for really the first time. But my journaling now is going to be looking very different. I am trying to set up my journaling in more of like a stream of consciousness instead of a prayer to really display my heart, just because last year showed me a lot of my own needs in terms of expressing my emotions and expressing myself to God and the impact of my faith along with my identity. So it's been really good to kind of just sit down and write out what I'm feeling, like all about my life to where I am today, just being rooted in God. My best times to read the Bible is nighttime. That's when I really get in the word. Most people don't say that. Most people say the morning, just because they're morning people, but I'm a nighttime person. I like to get in the word because I'm forced to be in the bed lovingly with my wife at nighttime. Because when she goes to sleep, we're all in bed. So it's good to spend time in the word there and praying. Most times I just have things going on in life. I pretty much have things going on all in life. We're talking a little bit before this, and I think I had said I'm not trying to get too deep into my life because I always feel like it's something going on with someone I know. And so a lot of my prayers tend to be for people, really about seeing them come to know the Lord and all that fun stuff. So that's typically what my prayers look like during that time. But I also spend a lot of time just in prayer throughout the day, seeking for ways to proclaim the gospel and what I'm doing. That for me, I think is some of the most beneficial time so that I can seek the Lord and what I'm doing throughout the whole day, and really looking at what I'm doing. What are my actions throughout the day? How are people viewing me? How are the meetings I'm in really a reflection of the Lord? And how aren't they a reflection of the Lord? Because I know my heart. I know when I'm getting annoyed and frustrated in what I'm doing. And I know when my voice is starting to sound like I'm annoyed and frustrated. But I need to sit back and reflect on that in that moment so that I can pursue the Lord in holiness and allow people to see that. Kind of like what you were saying, Jeff, just being that light, even in reading the Bible and being able to talk to people, praying for those opportunities and seeking those out diligently and reflecting on how the Lord really wants to transform us and those around us as we pursue that. So, and that's, to me, those are some of the best moments. But like I said, I really am planning to get into memorizing scripture this year. I know that I need to start slow, and I'm going to start. That's the beginning, starting. So I'm going to jotting down notes of what what these apps are so I can look into them. I don't really have a scripture reading plan. I kind of just jump between Old Testament, New Testament every so often. just because there's a season, and the Lord continues to reveal his word, reveal the word that I need to read in that season. Right now I'm going through Ecclesiastes, and it's really good for me right now. I'm in one of those just needing to understand that everything is vanity and a chasing after wind. And Ecclesiastes is really helping me to stay grounded and rooted and understanding the truths of the world coupled with the need for God. So it's just like just hearing me speak about these things and listening to you guys, I'm like, we have very different quiet times. We have very different times with the Lord, and that is okay. And that is good. Like, yeah. Trey was saying, it is descriptive, not prescriptive, for a reason. The Lord has different relationships with each and every one of us, but it is all for his glory. And that is what our lives are meant for and what we're chasing after. And so I think that if we continue to pursue that in holiness, that will be good. Pursue the one we love in holiness. That'll be good. What are you saying, Jeff?
I was just saying, Dom, and to me, hearing what you do and go through that, I felt a little challenged by that too, just to try my own day-to-day and my work to try to pray throughout the day. Maybe even felt a little convicted about that too. Like I want to emulate that in you too, because I think that would be that would help me be a better light at work as well, and to stay closer to God. Just to continue to give short little prayers through the day like you're doing. So anyway, just thanks for sharing that. That was encouraging to me.
No, of course. I think that honestly, some of the things that we as Christians tend not to do is share what we do in our own quiet time. It's our personal quiet time. We were told to go in our closet, close it up, don't let anybody know about what we're doing. But sometimes we need to talk about that, because some people are having a hard time really getting into the word or really spending time with God and feeling like they're disconnected, like we talked about. And it's important to have those times to pray specifically and write those things down so that we can see when the Lord answers those prayers in real ways. Or we go through very specific formats for prayer so that we take time to confess. Those are things that people don't take time to do on a lot of ways. And so they ask themselves, why am I disconnected from God? Oh yeah, I haven't repented in a while. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you stop sinning, right? So I think it's really good for us to talk about this. And I want to encourage any listener to speak about what you do in your quiet time with your friends, or if you feel like your quiet time doesn't feel fulfilling or isn't something that you just long to do every day, really seek to confide in somebody that you love, that you know is a Christian, and see what they're doing. Have real conversation and build community, because accountability is a big part of it too.
Yep.
Yeah, I think all these have been really helpful points. And so just tying a couple of things together that we all spoke from here. Again, like, we're all learning from each other in the midst of this, right? There are things that each of us may emphasize more, and that's okay. And we talk about these things, hopefully to encourage one another and help one another grow. And in the midst of that too, as Donovan said, like, one of the things that he wants to grow in is scripture memory. As Jeff said, one of the things he wants to grow in is maybe praying more throughout the day, right? There are all these examples of ways that we want to grow, and the best place to start is slow, like Donovan said. Just slow, realize that, hey, this is an area of growth for me, and just try to be methodical about it. Certainly, you want to have a plan going into it, but start somewhere, right? My college minister always talked about the daily drip of obedience would eventually result in an ocean of obedience, if that makes sense. And so I think sometimes we tend to think of it as, I've got to just rip open the fire hydrant and just let it all, you know, rain down on me, or whatever. But he said, if you daily have that drip of obedience at the end of your life, you're going to have created an ocean. And so that's something that I want us to all keep in mind. And then the other thing I wanted to just highlight that we all spoke about is our quiet times consist of many different things, right? So I think, again, growing up for me, a quote unquote good quiet time would be read one chapter of scripture. And not that that's bad, but our relationship with the Lord is so much more diverse than just reading his word, and so much more dynamic. And so in the midst of our quiet times, you know, we can memorize scripture, we can listen to worship music, we can connect with the Lord through creation, right? By going out and exploring nature, right? And just getting quiet before the Lord. There are so many different ways that we can connect with the Lord and grow in our relationship with him. So I just want to encourage you, your quiet time doesn't have to look the same throughout your whole life. It doesn't have to look the same, even in the same season of life, right? There are different ways that we can connect with the Lord. Kind of one place that I want us to kind of close in on as we're having this conversation is just, if there are any lies you feel like the enemy has used to maybe throw you off track in your quiet time, if that makes sense, what are the things that you have to remind yourself of as you're trying to get into a good headspace, or as you're trying to grow in your spiritual walk? So I guess to answer my question and maybe give y'all some time and space to think, I think for me, the lie that I have told myself is that, man, like if I am going to continue to grow in my spiritual walk, my quiet time with the Lord has to get exponentially longer with each passing year, right? And as we've talked about, this certainly looks different in every season. But I think the Lord has been gracious to show me that, you know, at the end of the day, the quality of my relationship with the Lord is not dependent on how hard I am working to show him that I love him. And so I'm grateful to know that. But are there other things that y'all feel like maybe society tells us, or maybe we've gotten twisted in our own minds that has that you just want to speak out over people and say, hey, don't let this lie discourage you?
Yeah, I think for me, it's the devil attacks me with distractions. And I think particularly, at least in especially in the last few years, a major distraction has been political news. And I think what's really going on in my mind and heart there is that the devil is trying to get me to look at a hope that's not the hope that is being found in scripture, that he's trying to get me to put my hope into a political party or into, you know, certain things happening in our country in a political sense. And that's not what setting our heart on God looks like. And we need to put our hope in what God has promised us. We find those promises in the scripture. And so, I'm glad you asked that question, Trey, because I think that when I think about what blocks me from a quiet time, it's definitely distractions like that. And there can be other things too. It could be an email, it could be work. But I think that in particular, that one has been one that I've had to watch out for and watch my own heart.
I think for me, it's been kind of what you've been trying to make clear, that this is not the point of what our discussion here, but seeing things as prescriptive and not descriptive, and seeing, oh, that person is such a great Christian and they do their quiet time exactly like this, and why can't I do it exactly like that? Those types of thoughts. So I think I think that's been a lie that I've told myself, or the devil has told me as well. And just being able to ignore that and just focus on my relationship with Christ and not try and make it even, you know, like my husband's relationship with Christ, or, you know, a friend or someone that I look up to, saying, oh, you know, Jeff does exactly like this, I need to do it like that. It's like, no, I don't. You know, we can learn from each other, and that's great, and challenge each other, but it's going to look different for every person.
I think for me, at times, it can be just the baggage of sin, just making me feel like I can't enter into that. I'm not worthy enough to come before the throne of the Lord because of X, Y, or Z sin that I committed today, or I committed last week. And that can be a huge blocker for me, but also for a lot of people. I've heard other people say the same thing. Like, I'm not worthy enough to come to the Lord. It's like, just because he redeemed you at one point doesn't mean he stopped redeeming you. He's constantly redeeming us. And that's a reminder that I have to continue to push into my own heart and my own mind every day as I walk into scripture, so that I don't get bogged down in just feeling unworthy. It's very easy to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. I just asked that question because spiritual warfare is real, right? And the devil is the king of lies, and he seeks to twist the truth. And I know there's a lot of misconceptions that I've had entering into quiet times, and so I just wanted us to speak into that briefly. But Jeff and Emily, Donovan, thanks for being a part of this conversation. I hope and I pray for all of you who are listening that this has been helpful for you, that it's been maybe even comforting to hear from other fellow believers who are saying, hey, this has been hard for me, or this is a place where I struggle. And hopefully it's helped push you to think about how you're spending time with the Lord and how you can grow in that. With that said, as we kind of close, just wanted to recap a couple of resources that you all might want to check out. Again, as we've talked about scripture memory, we've mentioned Fighterverse. We've mentioned, Jeff, I think you said Scripture Typer was one to use. So check those out if you want to grow in scripture memorization. I'd encourage you guys to look into reading plans. You can, honestly, I would just search Bible reading plans on Google, right? There's probably 1,001 to choose from. I know Robert Murray McShane has one. He's an old Scottish theologian preacher, but also the Gospel Coalition provides reading plans. There's the F260 reading plan that you can find, or you can just pick up a study Bible, right? You don't necessarily have to have a plan for the whole year. If you just have a study Bible, that really is helpful and insightful as you study scripture for yourself. So I would encourage you to check that out. And then if you want to check out some podcasts about it, Emily, what were the podcasts that you said you use?
I listened to the Bible Recap, and it goes along with, they have a Bible reading plan that goes along with the podcast as well. And then Jeff and I both listened to David Platt's Pray the Word podcast as well.
If you want something longer and it's a nerd deep dive, the Bible Project is fantastic. They have a great podcast. I think that one was more like an hour long though. So that's a little bit bigger of a chunk of time, but that's another one I recommend.
I was literally about to say that. I was like, I'm pretty sure Jeff listens to the Bible Project. I know a lot of people who do. I don't, because it's too long and I like to listen to music. But yeah, that one is really good. I've listened to a couple. Really deep, really solid theologically as well. One thing I'd like to add, I just recently got these journals that if you haven't journaled before or don't really know what to think about or need some frame of reference, it's called Daily Kairos. That one's really a very good framed out journal, 13 weeks. It goes through some questions about kind of how you're feeling, what is God teaching you, weekly reflection, as well as focus. So trying to help frame your time with the Lord as you go through that. I'm planning to go through that with somebody that I'm hoping to disciple this year. So that'll be something that we do together. I got him a journal. I got a journal. I just need to get it to him. COVID times have kept me from giving it to him, but I got to give it to him so that we can set up some clear times and then talk about it. But I think that'll be really good for myself and hopefully him as well.
Absolutely. And then one more thing. I promise he didn't ask me to plug this, but I believe our very own Chandler Vinoy helps work on an email / podcast resource called Morning Word that takes you through a prayer, like a psalm for the day, a read read part where you read a passage of scripture, a time to reflect with just a couple of quick questions. And then even scripture memory is included in that as well. It's got a verse for the week. So check that out too. So hopefully those are some good resources for you as you seek to grow in Christlikeness and holiness. And as we all come together at this church and across the world to hopefully reach Nashville and the nations of the gospel. But Gospel Church, we are so grateful for you. We would love to close this time in a time of prayer. So Donovan, will you lead us in that?
I would love to. Lord, thank you for just allowing us to take this time to talk about being with you. It's something that we sometimes take for granted. I know I do. But Lord, it's such a joy when we do it. And I pray that this particular podcast helps whoever listens to it really think about their time with you, understanding that it's not something that's prescriptive. It's different for every person. And understanding that if you want to add to your quiet time or really look at how your quiet time should be structured throughout the day or at one time of the day, just recognizing that it's something that is meant for us to focus in on you, drawing nearer in our relationship that is built on the love that we have for you. So Lord, just continue to stretch us, pour into us, and show us your mercies each and every day.
God, thank you for our time together today. We thank you for the ability to come to you in prayer and to come together to read your Bible, learn more about you. I pray that you would give each of us and anyone listening just a deeper desire to know you more, that you would give us the joy from reading your word, from connecting with you through prayer, and that you would be able to bless our time together with you.
Yes, Lord, thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you for the gift that it is and for how you chose to reveal yourself to us and reveal yourself to us through your word, Lord, that you care about the relationship with us individually, Lord, with each and every one of us, you know, one out of 6 billion or however many people are in the world now, Lord, that it's amazing, God, that you care about our lives so much so that you would reveal yourself to us and that you would pursue relationship with us by giving us your word. So Lord, I just ask that as we just grow to love you more, Lord, that you would give us greater and greater delight to just spend that time with you and spend that time in your word. And that as we spend that time, Lord, that our delight would grow. And then that would cause us to want to read your word more. And just thank you for how that works, Lord, and for how your spirit can move through us through your word.
God, we are just grateful for who you are and for all that you've done for us. Thank you for giving us your word and the precious gift that it is to us. Lord, thank you for sending your son who made it possible for us to be in right relationship with you. We just ask that you would help us all to grow in Christlikeness. Lord, help us all to grow in our desire to spend time with you, no matter what that looks like, whether it's reading your word, whether it's time spent in prayer, whether it's memorizing scripture, listening to worship music, or sitting around with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and having a conversation about who you are and all that you've done for us, Lord. Whether that's even us stepping out and sharing our faith, Lord, we just pray that you would help us to be people who constantly seek to glorify your name and make your name known across this world, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you, and we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Gospel Church, again, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Faith Applied. If you want to check out previous episodes, we've discussed biblical hospitality. We've talked about the sticky subject of faith and politics, and we've even delved into race and the gospel. And so be sure to check those out in our podcast feed. Also, be on the lookout for our next episode of Faith Applied. That we're going to be bringing that to you in February. And our plan is to talk with Mike Harder, our senior pastor, on the topic of creation. So we are super excited to delve into that subject with y'all. The Gospel Church, you are loved and you are sent. We can't wait to see you soon.